Welcome back to the Moms Do Business Different podcast. I'm your host, Kay Hillman, believer, wife, mama, and creator of the Shmoney Mama Gang. Myself and my team support mamas who are service providers and coaches in creating strategies that make buyers say, take my shmoney, and create companies that bring in high cash months doing the bare minimum. Join me for conversations on money, business growth, sales, productivity, and the mindset of being a mom who does business different. Mama, are you ready for the vibe? Listen up and let's get this money. Hey boo, hey, happy Thursday or whatever day you're listening to this on. Oh my gosh, round of applause because y'all, we're about to hit 300 episodes. Oh my gosh, I'm like shaking. We're literally 10 episodes away from 300. I don't even know what to do. I need to map out like when I think we're gonna hit this. Obviously it's gonna happen in April because we're only at March 21st and we're at 290. So we're only 10 episodes away. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be April, if not early May, right? Yeah, April or early May, something like that. Anyway, help me with some ideas. What should we do for episode 300? I need to like think of something because this is a huge milestone, like 300 episodes. Whoa. Anyway, thanks for being here on this ride, but we will talk about that another time. Today, we are talking about the five reasons people don't buy, okay? So some common sales mistakes, but five reasons why people don't buy your offers. So let's start. Thing number one, they are the wrong buyer. This is something that I tell people all the time. Like when people are like, oh, you know, my audience isn't buying, blah, blah, they're the wrong buyer. They're literally the wrong buyer. Sometimes we try to sell offers to people that actually don't need them, or like the offer is just not aligned with their current season of life or business for some reason, which makes them the wrong buyer, right? The key to selling is that you need to sell to people that need your offer right now. Okay. We're not trying to sell to our entire community or our entire audience. We're just trying to sell to the people that need our offer right now, who have a problem or a pressing issue that we can solve right now. Everybody else, they are still in the customer journey. They're still being nurtured or whatever, but we can't focus on them. We have to focus on the smaller pool, right? The leads of people that we have that are actually in need of our offer. So I always say when it comes to creating an offer, you want to think about what is the problem that you can solve for people that they need solved immediately, right? So this needs to be a highly pressing issue for them, right? Or a highly pressing thing that they want a solution for, or they want some sort of transformation. It's kind of like weight loss, right? I hate to pick on this, but I'm gonna talk about myself, right? It's kind of like weight loss. Until I'm actually ready to lose weight, I'm not going to hire a coach, right? I'm not going to hire a health coach. I'm not going to go to the gym, right? But eventually I will get to a point where I am looking in the mirror and I'm like, girl, it's time for this weight to come off. And now you can't sell me fast enough, right? Like at this point, it's like, it's done. Like my money is already out of my pocket. You just need to pick it up, right? Those are the people that we're selling to, right? We're not selling to the people who, you know, oh yeah, like I can lose a little weight or whatever, but like they're not really trying to, like they don't, it's not pressing for them right now. They don't care right now. You're selling to the people that are like, oh no, like I looked in the mirror this morning, I hated this, right? Or I'm not happy with this, or I'm having a hard time walking up the steps, right? Those people, they are the ones that are like, okay, take my money, right? That was a crude example, but it was the best one I could come up with on the fly like that. But long story short, a lot of times we're selling to the person that knows they have a problem, but they don't want to change, right? They're not ready for a solution. And that can be kind of hard to say or hard to, you know, kind of like reconcile with, because on one end, you want to help people that you know need help. But if they don't want the help, you can't force it. So a lot of times I find people trying to sell something or sell an offer to those people, right? To people that, yes, they have a problem, but they don't want a solution. So why are we trying to sell to them? Why are you, you know, getting mad about a sales call with them when they just get on and act like they didn't know that the offer was paid or whatever, right? And I see this happen time and time again. It's happened to me in the past too, where it's like, I would get so frustrated, but it's like, it's because you are selling to the wrong buyer. And that's why they don't buy, because they weren't actually serious or interested in the first place. And it's nothing against them. It's just, this is where they are in their customer journey. And we have to honor that, right? But also sometimes we just sell the wrong offer, right? Like we have maybe the quote unquote right buyer, but we have the wrong offer. Either way, it's the wrong buyer, right? It does. There's some mismatch or misalignment in the buyer or the offer. And so that's going to be one reason why people don't buy.
Another reason, and this is a huge reason, is people don't trust you, right? The person does not trust you. So the second part of the customer journey is active engagement. And during this stage, people are actively consuming your content. They're conversing with you. They're liking your posts. They're in your DMs. They're responding to your emails, right? This is the active engagement phase. Here's the thing that I see happen a lot, though. A lot of times people in this engagement phase, they are still new, right? They are still new to your world. And because of that, they're not going to jump into your most recent launch, right? So if you're launching something, someone follows you, they like all your stuff, they're engaging, that doesn't mean that they're ready to buy your offer because they're still new to you. They don't trust you enough yet. They're still building their trust muscle with you. Now, I want to be clear and say you can build trust super, super fast, okay? I build trust very fast with people. So it's not that it has to take forever, but for some people it does, right? We have to remember the buyer types. Some buyer types, it takes them longer to actually trust you. And everybody has a different measure of trust, right? So like some people are measuring trust by your consistency. Some people are measuring trust by your reviews, right? So there are different ways that people are measuring trust with you. And so in some instances, even though someone is engaging with you, they might not yet trust you enough to actually make an investment. So you can't attach yourself to that person. In addition to that, I also see people pitch people too early. So when someone is still in that trust building engagement phase, that is not the time to pitch them, right? They're not ready to be sold to. Other times I see people kind of be like a little pushy in their sales process. You know, a lot of times people are like, oh, you know, convinced, like, you know, how to overcome objections and stuff like that. And I'm not saying it's bad, even though I have done episodes where I talk about why I don't overcome objections. And I still actually don't. Like, I still don't overcome many objections. And when I say overcome, like, I don't go back and forth with people about their objections. It is what it is, right? And you can do what you want. I'm not saying that one way is right and one way is wrong, but sometimes it can come across as a little bit too pushy and therefore it's off-putting and you lose trust with that buyer. So that's why I call sales conversations. Like I don't call them like, prospect calls or, you know, sales calls or whatever. I mean, I do sometimes call them sales calls, but like, I really like to call them conversations because if you're having a conversation with someone, you can hopefully read the rule, right? I mean, read the room. So that's like a skill. That's what it is. It's a skill that you can learn. Like you will learn how to read the room. So you will learn how to read your clients to know, okay, do I need to back up off this conversation because they're not ready for me to sell? Or can I, you know, I'm not going to say push the sale, but can I continue the customer journey with them and actually have a conversation about the offer, right? But sometimes like if you don't build the trust properly, you might jump the gun and pitch them and they're not actually ready. And that breaks the trust. Something else that I see also, or something that people don't think about is that people are so judgmental, right? People are so like, and I mean, obviously that's all they can really do. Like really, that's all we do is we judge things, right? We file things. It's either good or bad. It's red or blue, right? Like we're judging stuff all the time, but people are very judgmental. And so when it comes to that, like people, like you have to earn their trust. And so people are judging you for your consistency, right? They're judging, you know, your brand. Like, does your brand match your messaging? Do you show up when you say you're going to show up? Are you consistent, right? And these people, like, if you don't have trust with someone, a lot of times they won't tell you, but they are judging you, right? They're judging whether or not they can trust you. And so for some people, something is just not matching for them yet, right? Like something is not matching. Maybe your branding is not matching your message, or maybe, you know, you haven't been super consistent, so they don't trust that you're going to show up for them. Maybe they haven't seen enough review. This happened to me actually just recently where I talked about this before where someone didn't join my accelerator because I didn't have any reviews and she was new, right? She was new to my community. And so she didn't trust me, right? And I wouldn't trust me either. Heck, there's no reviews and I don't know you. Like, yeah, I'm not going to drop, you know, $5,000 on your offer. So, you know, it makes sense, right? So you have to also think about what are those factors that people can kind of, you know, not in a mean way, but what are things that people can look at and kind of judge you on and say, you know what, like, I actually don't really trust this, right? And in their brain, they're not thinking about the fact that they don't trust you. For them, it's more so like, I don't know if this is a smart investment, right? So they're actually more so judging them their own selves, right? They're in their mind, they're telling themselves like, you know, this is not a safe bet. You know, if you do this, this could turn out out badly, right? So they're like having a bunch of internal talk. And when that happens, they won't buy, right? So that's the reason why they won't buy. Something else, like the last thing I want to say about trust is that, like I said a little bit earlier, it takes time for certain people to build trust with you, right? It takes time to build trust and build rapport. That is okay, right? It's one reason why I'm very big on you always need to be generating new leads. You always need to be focusing on visibility, because at the end of the day, people really do need time. Buyers are so savvy right now. Buyers are not going to just jump in and buy something without feeling confident, right? And so if they don't trust you, they're not going to feel confident in investing in your offer. If they don't understand what you're talking about or what you're doing, they're not going to invest in the offer. If you have a $10,000 offer, but you're using iPhone pictures, they're probably not going to trust that. And so they're not going to buy the offer. So you have to think about all those different things that they can kind of pick apart that makes them question their decision to work with you, right? And this kind of is like that whole engagement and consideration phase. So the next thing, I think this is thing number three. The third reason why people don't buy is because of your messaging, right? So your messaging is unclear, or how you are talking about or articulating your offer is unclear, and it doesn't point them to a desired end result. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that when you are talking about your offer, you have a very clear roadmap on how they get a result, or you have a very clear like process for them to see, this is how you're going to get the result that I'm promising you. And if they can't see that, then they're not going to buy. So what you want to be thinking about is, what do people need to see, think, and feel in order to make a decision about working with me? And more importantly, how can I make that super clear to them? Like, how can I put it in just simple terms so that they can understand? And not even just like simple, like I'm not trying to say like, you know, like dumb things down, but how can you just make it, how can you say it in a way that's easy to digest, right? How can you break down your concepts or your process or your philosophy in a way that they can see, oh, if this is my problem, this is my solution, right? This is how she's going to give me that solution. You need to be able to articulate, what is the desired transformation, right? So what's the result you can promise, but like, how does that look tangibly for them, right? Explain those things, because when they can't see it, when they can't see themselves in your offer, when they can't really understand or pinpoint how this is going to get them a result they want, they won't buy. Another really big thing that I like to do with messaging is I like to say, bridge the gap, right? Bridge the gap for them. You know what their problem is. You know what their outcome or their desired solution is. Your offer bridges the gap, right? So you need to show them how your offer walks them across the bridge from their problem to the outcome they want, right? If you're able to do that in a very clear way, and I'm not even going to say concise. I used to say like, do it clear and concise, but sometimes you just need a little bit more words to say what you need to say. Now, I'm not saying like, you know, write long paragraphs on your sales page or whatever, but if you need a few extra words to say what you need to say so that somebody can really understand what you're talking about or how you can get them an end result without it looking like how everybody else does, do it, right? So messaging could be a big thing that is keeping people from buying. And one thing that I've always said, and my OGs know this, confused people do not buy. So if they're confused by your message, if they're confused by what's the end result, if there are too many end results, like sometimes people will have one offer that's solving five different problems. Trust me, I still do it. So this is not, you know, I'm talking to myself here too. So sometimes, you know, we create these offers and they're just too complicated. People aren't going to buy a complicated offer. And this is why your messaging is so important. And it's why it's really important for you to be clear in your messaging, because if it's not, they will not buy it. The fourth thing, we're almost done. The fourth reason why people don't buy is because, and this is one thing I want to say is that these are just five reasons. There are so many more reasons why people don't buy, but these are like five of the most common ones. So the fourth reason is your offer or your brand does not stand out. Now, this one can be like a little like tricky or kind of hurt people's feelings, but it's the truth, right? The industry is actually saturated, right? But it's saturated with people that are doing the exact same thing, like people that are just trying to copy and do the same thing. I mean, we saw the whole MMR or MRR course, whatever it is, right? Where everybody was literally selling the same course. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people were selling the exact same course, right? The industry is saturated with people that are doing the same thing, people that lack originality, people that are, you know, I'm not going to say copying on purpose, because I don't think people are copying on purpose, but like, you know, you see one person succeeding at this thing, so then you start doing this similar thing, right? So the industry is saturated with people doing the same thing, and that is why it is imperative. Like, it's so important that you are different, right? That you are truly standing out, whether it's your offer or your brand, right? But especially your offer, right? Your offer just really needs to stand out, because that's what people are judging, right? People are going to either invest with you or somebody else. And so one thing that I always say is that if people can't clearly say, I want to work with Kay because of X, Y, and Z, or I want to join, you know, her offer because of X, Y, and Z, then basically that means that they cannot separate you, or they cannot differentiate you from the next provider. So they need to, like, people need to be able to clearly say, this is why I worked with you. This is why I chose your offer, right? This is why I chose your program, because there are so many other programs or service providers that they could have chosen to work with, but they chose you, and they need to be able to articulate that. If they can't do that in their mind, they're not going to buy, right? So, and I'm not saying they need to tell you this. I'm just saying that this is what they're thinking in their head. What's the difference between joining Kay's program and someone else's? What's the difference between hiring Kay as my photographer and someone else, right? So you also, though, want to answer that question for yourself, so that when you are putting yourself out there, so when you are marketing your offer or marketing your brand, you speak to those points so that they can then confirm, right, for themselves, like, okay, this is why I want to work with her, because she said that this is what her focus is, right? And this is different from what somebody else's focus is, right? Again, people are judgmental, right? And I hate to use the word judgmental, because I don't mean it in a bad way, but people are judging, right? People are measuring you against somebody else, right? And it's not in a bad way. It's just in a, how can I get, you know, the best deal? How can I best be supported by whoever I need support with, or with whatever I need support with, right? So that's a big question that I ask myself. Something that I also like to think about is, when I am doing any marketing, or when I am, you know, selling any of my offers, what is like that one thing that I'm like, okay, if they don't take away anything else from this, or take anything else away, I want them to like know me for this. I want you to be thinking about, like, what do you want your offer to be known for? Or what do you want your services to be known for, right? So for example, on a brand level, I want Moms Do Business Different to be known as, you know, a community for moms that, one, are doing business different, right? Like, duh, it's in the name. But also, I want moms to know that they can build a peaceful and a profitable business doing the bare minimum, right? So that is like the bare, like, that is what I want my brand itself to be known as. And so when I'm thinking about, okay, well, what do I want my offers to do, right? And this is how you need to be thinking. Like, when people are thinking about your brand, what do you want them to think or associate with your brand? And then what do you want them to think and associate with your offers? So for me, like, what makes my offers different is that it's for moms by a mom, right? So this is not like your, you know, program that somebody else is doing that might not have kids, but they still support kids. But it's like, okay, the offer is not actually structured to help us, because it's too much for me, right? My offers are intentionally designed that I know you have kids. I have kids too, right? I know how this works. So I know that we need to do things differently, right? So that is the kind of way that I make my brand stand out from some of the other coaching brands, right? Or some of the other sales brands, right? So that's like the overall umbrella. But then for yourself, right? You do that for yourself, but then also break down your offer. So like for me, when I think about Shmoney, the big thing that separates Shmoney from everything else is that I have templates, right? I literally, everything in there, the templates, the strategy, the workshops, the income producing activity suite, all those things are designed to cut your work time in half, because I know that you don't have time, right? So I try to give you everything possible so that you can get a result as fast as possible, right? Or in as little time as possible, because I know you have a little bit of time. When it comes to like my masterminds or my one-on-one coaching, what makes me different from everybody else is that my stuff is data-driven, right? Like, I am focused on the data, I'm focused on the numbers, and I'm also focused on what makes you different, right? Like, I'm focused on the nuance of that. So because a lot of my stuff is very strategic, that's different than what some other business coaches might do, because their focus might be more so on the mindset piece or whatever. But like, mine is like, no, baby, we're gonna look at the numbers, and then we're gonna figure out how we can do this with our kids, period, right? So that's what's making me different from everybody else. So that's how you want to be thinking about your offers too. What is that differentiator, right? What is that thing that you can articulate yourself, and then that's going to allow other people to say, you know what, I actually really resonate with that, I'm going to join because this is what you can do. And this is how it's different than someone else. A lot of times, and this goes back to that messaging piece, a lot of times people do have something that makes them stand out, but they don't articulate it. Where you're going to win, and this is the edge that I'm giving you, boo, so pick up what I'm putting down. Where you're going to win is now you know, or you're going to go right now and figure out what makes you stand out and what makes your offer stand out. And then your next focus is on articulating that in a clear way, making sure that you're able to tell people. If you didn't notice, I didn't fumble just now, but I told you my long way of being different, and then I told you the short, right? So I gave you all the words, right? What moms do business, what the differentiator for moms do business different is. And then I broke down my offers, but then I also like just summed it up. Okay, baby, all I'm here to do is help you build a peaceful and profitable business doing the bare minimum. I talked about how, you know, the action plans and all that kind of stuff, like that's designed for moms by a mom, right? So I'm using this different language and this different messaging strategically, right? It's on purpose, right? It's on purpose because I know what makes me different than everybody else. And you have to have that same confidence, because if not, people are not going to buy, right? People are going to say, oh, well, I can just buy from this other coach who is saying something completely different, right? Like there's going to be another coach out there that's going to be very clear. Or, you know, as a photographer, right? Or as a service provider, people can go and work with another service provider that is more clear on what their actual result is. And I feel like a lot of times service providers, especially, you sell yourself short by not showing how you're different. But your process is unique. Even though we do, like my photography, I do a lot of things that other photographers in the Atlanta area do, but mine is still so significantly different because mine is strategy backed. Mine is strategy based, right? My photography is literally strategy based. I do strategy sessions. Like it's all creatively designed. And that's something that photographers here don't do, right? Even in my same niche, a lot of photographers don't do that, right? So that is my edge. That's what makes me different. And baby, I pop my mess about that because I know that that's what makes me different, right? And when you know what makes you different, you're going to pop your ish about it, and people are going to want to work with you because of that, because they're going to be able to say for themselves, I hired Kay, or I hired whatever your name is, because X, Y, and Z, right? So that's the question that we want to answer for them, and that they should be able to answer for themselves. The last reason why people don't buy is because your follow-up game is not up to par. I didn't know how I wanted to say that, but basically like you're not following up properly, or you're not following up at all. I have fumbled the bag so many times with following up that like literally it has made me cry on many occasions because I will just forget to follow up with someone. And that's why I am so serious about the Leads for Days workshop. It's one reason why like I put together that whole entire process. I put that process together for myself almost 3 years ago because I was literally fumbling like big deals because I was not following up with the deal. So the truth of the matter is that sometimes people literally just forget to circle back in with you. People forget that they didn't respond. You know, maybe people aren't ready to respond. This has happened to me plenty of times where I will open up a message or I'll open up an email and forget to like put it on unread so like, you know, so I could see the notification again, and I never respond to somebody. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you're being ghosted, and that's fine too. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't follow up, but and I have a whole strategy behind DM sales and like following up, and then of course the Leads for Days workshop is inside Shmoney Mama. So definitely hop in there so that you can really get like the nitty gritty details on this. But bottom line, sometimes people don't buy because we did not follow up with them, right? Our follow up game is just not strong. And because of that, it leads to the client not signing with us and then going and signing with somebody else simply because we didn't like finish the transaction. And what I mean by this is, you know, sometimes you're having a conversation with someone, you send them a link, and then you're just kind of sitting around waiting for them to buy. And it's like, don't sit around and wait for people to buy, right? Like, don't sit around and wait. Tell them when you're going to follow up, and then follow up with them when you say you're going to follow up. That is going to build trust, right? If you follow up with people when you say you are, that's going to build trust with them. And that might be the thing that pushes them over and makes them want to join and work with you, right? It gives you opportunity to answer any questions or clarify anything for them if they don't understand. But a lot of times we feel like we've been ghosted, or we feel like someone's not interested, and that's simply not the case. They're just waiting for us to reach back out to them again. They're waiting for another invite. And I know it sounds crazy because it's like, oh, but I already did a sales call, or I already, you know, did a DM conversation or whatever, but like you never know what's going on in people's lives or what's going on in people's businesses or whatever that made them not respond or made them forget or made them not, you know, go and pay the invoice. So follow back up, right? Like you just never know like how you're blocking your blessing by not following up with someone. And for me, I'm one of those people that I'm like, you know, unless someone explicitly tells me no or you know, they just like ghost me for like, you know, 6 months or something, like they don't respond to any of my messages or whatever, I'm going to keep like touching base and engaging with you or whatever, because it's just like, I mean, unless you say flat out, no, I never want to work with you. I mean, what else am I supposed to assume, right? I choose not to assume the worst. I choose to assume that like, oh, someone just got busy, or oh, you know, maybe like they weren't ready right now, but like they'll be ready in a few months or something like that. So follow up, right? Like that's a huge reason why people don't buy, is simply because we didn't check back in with them to see if they were ready to actually work with us right now. And I know that sometimes this kind of thing can feel a little bit like, oh my gosh, I don't want to bother them, or, you know, I don't want to like constantly like blow this person up or whatever. But it's like, they wouldn't have reached out, or they wouldn't have like had that conversation with you or got on a sales call with you or been in your DMs if they weren't interested in working with you. Timing does matter. And I did an episode all about timing. And so sometimes the timing just didn't align, but it doesn't mean that they don't want to buy from you. It just means that they might need to just buy a little bit later. And so following up is going to be the key to actually signing them at some point in the future. Because I mean, the worst feeling in the world, and trust me, I have had this feeling too many times, is warming somebody up to go work with someone else. And I mean, like, you know, I still firmly believe that like what's for me won't pass me by. So was it really a lost client? Not really. But I will say that it does, you know, it does like sting to see like somebody that you have been engaging with, working with, you know, really interested in working with them, and, you know, they're working with somebody else. But I also have to take accountability for myself and, you know, ask myself, you know, was my offer clear? Did I follow up with them? You know, is my brand, like, is the actual offer result standing out? Do they trust me, right? Like, I have to ask myself those actual, like, those real questions, because those could be a reason why the person didn't buy. But I know for me, a lot of times, especially if they go and work with somebody else, it's probably because I did not follow up. And also, and I've said this note before to people, but, like, go check your message requests. Sometimes there's money over there in the message request that you don't even see because you're not checking that folder. I've had that happen where like someone sent me a message wanting to work together or whatever, and it ended up in my message request and I didn't see it for months, you know, and obviously wouldn't work with somebody else. And it just was like a bummer, like, dang, you know, I would have really loved to like do this project or work with you or whatever. So, you know, we have to be really intentional about following up, but also just like making sure that we're paying attention and just serving the people that come to us really ready to work together, just serving them as well as possible. So that is the fifth reason. So to recap really quick, 5 reasons why people don't buy: they're either the wrong buyer, they don't trust you, your messaging is not clear, your brand or your offer, promise, or whatever is just not standing out, or your follow-up game is weak. So you got to get better at following up. Okay, that is it for this episode. And until next time, I will talk to you later, darling.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I know you loved it, so go ahead and leave a 5-star review. Make sure to share this episode and tag me at Moms Do Business Different and at Mrs. K. Hillman so Ayantha knows it's real. May you walk in your purpose and calling every single day to steward the life and business that God has called you to. Until next time, let's get this money.